Proverbs for the day, August the 1st, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 to 33, and we'll focus on verse 24, but we must get the context. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set it not all my counsel and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Notice in the passage, he starts off and he says, I have called, ye refused, etc. Notice that in verse 28, in verse 27, he says, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, verse 28, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. There's a time when God's appeal to you, if you reject it, you become a they. There's us and them. And you want to stay on the right side of the Lord. Now, if you're saved, He's not going to turn you away or something like that. But I'd like to look at verse 24 and ask ourselves this question. What do you expect? You know, everything has cause and effect. Nowadays, there's just so many different things. People kind of get marveled at that children can pick up, you know, these digital phones and all that kind of stuff. But really, that's the way we're made, cause and effect. I mean, God made us to where we can learn a lot of things. I don't know if you realize what kind of coordination it takes to drive a car, and yet some of the craziest people I know and weirdest people I know can drive a car, and some of the sanest people I know are horrible drivers. But anyway, who knows what's going on the other side of this thing this morning. But here's the whole idea is this. What do you expect God to do? You know, if you're not careful, you'll spend all your time trying to defend God instead of just spending your time declaring Him. Just declare Him. Just take His side in the matter. Now, you'll probably end up the same way the prophets did, on the outs, but you're still better off that way. Let's think of three things here in this passage when it comes to what you expect. Look, first of all, look at this. Look at the extension of love and grace. The extension of love and grace. God extends. It's like, you know, you take a phone call. You know, one of the greatest things today is caller ID. Maybe you don't like that idea, but I do. Caller ID is a wonderful thing. There's a lot of people that are going to call your phone number that don't know you, and yet they're going to call you by name when you answer because it's some computer trying to do it, or somebody's got your name from somewhere, and they ask for you like they know you. If you don't know the number, you can just wait and see if they got enough sense to leave a voicemail message. The whole point is this. It'd be like not shaking an extended hand. In other words, the extension of love and grace. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand. Like you reach out to shake somebody's hand, no man regarded. You know, at least one of the things a handshake represents is it represents two people reaching out and taking their weapon hand and extending it with no weapon in it. If the majority of fighters are right-handed, and for the most part they are, if that were not so, then the Bible would not have made such a special statement about the left-handed men who could throw it a hair's breadth. The whole idea is you reach out and take each other's hand. Now you can't put your hand on the sword. Your hand is empty. It's an extension. The Lord said, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. He's saying, here, let's hook up. Let's make a deal here. Let's make an arrangement, an agreement. You receive my grounds, and I'll show you love and grace and mercy and salvation and all those things, the extension of love and grace. And God extends love and grace to every single human being. Secondly, the excuses which have no ground. The excuses. He says in verse 25, ye have set at naught all my counsel, would none of my reproof. In the Lord Jesus Christ preaching, he gives us examples where someone said, I bought oxen, I have to go try them. That's not even feasible. You don't spend good money on something if you don't even know if it'll plow. All the excuses, you know, I have a parcel of land, I need to go see it. That doesn't make any sense either. That'd be like somebody trying to sell you a shorefront property in the middle of Nevada. And of course, in the fine print, it says it will be when California falls off the edge of the continent. The idea is excuses which have no grounds. Set at naught, explained away. Set at naught means they set at naught. They made it nothing. They made a nothing out of God's counsel. They explained it away. Listen, if someone else can come up with ways to set God's call, God's extension of love and grace at naught, so can you. Be careful. What do you expect God to do when someone, as puny as mankind, will not take His hand when He extends it? I don't know about you, but that can be a pretty serious thing in all the things that I came up in and grew up in if someone doesn't extend it back, receive it. The excuses which have no grounds. Listen, there are no grounds. There are no grounds for rejecting God. If you're not careful in all this sympathy to human nature and humankind and your old nature, there are no grounds for rejecting God's love and mercy. None. None whatsoever. The extension of love and grace. You ready? The excuses which have no grounds and the extreme results. The extreme results. Now, because God is the highest, He's it. He was before everything. He'll be here after everything. Jehovah God in the Old Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed in the New Testament. Because God is the highest, and to reject Him brings the most extreme results. The extreme results are to be banished from God. The extreme results are to be put with those who have rejected God's authority and God's rule. And there is a place God made for them, and you'll end up going there and end up with them in a place He didn't make for man if you're not careful. Now, if you're saved, fine. But, do you really want to end up on the wrong side of God as a saved person? Do you really want, as yesterday's devotion, do you really want Him to look at you and say, I can't safely trust in my bride? Think twice about your response to things like the Scriptures. Think twice about your response to saintly counsel, to spirit conviction, to sermons sent your way. Today, let's give God glory, preeminence, authority, honor, praise, all those things that are due unto Him. And let us have the attitude with this world, however you express it, with what do you expect God to do? An almighty God, eternal God, loving God to the point that He extended love and mercy when He held out His hand on Calvary and said, here, take salvation. What do you expect out of Him when all there are excuses which have no grounds? The extension of love and grace, the excuses which have no grounds, and the extreme results. They're as natural and logical as anything you'll find anywhere in the entire universe.